So we're left with two things to do today. How we treat equality constraints, okay? And then the cases in which KKP conditions are sufficient, not only necessary conditions, and I will do that also directly in the case where we also have equalities. So, what goes wrong when we have equalities? So now, I'm not assuming this anymore. I'm adding equality constraint. So now we have both inequalities and equalities. Okay, which is probably the most common case you can meet. Okay. There's no reason why constraints should be just inequalities. Okay. Well, I already told you, but now I can also explain why, that we cannot simply state that inequality is turned into a pair of inequalities. Okay. This is true. Two inequalities, then I can apply all the theory we have directly. Okay? What's the trouble? Consider the linearizing set in which we take strict inequalities. What happens? Well, it happens that set is always empty. Why? First of all, inequality constraint, even if you look at a pair, is always active in a feasible point, because it's feasible if it is zero. So if it is zero, this is active, and this is active as well. Okay. So they both are active constraints. And the first requirement for the linearizing set is that this star product is negative. Okay. When I take these other constraints, which is the same but with a minus, I also need that minus this has to be negative. Or, if you like best, has to be positive. So, a direction in this linearizing set should have both negative and positive scalar product with the same vector. Okay? So, if we apply that theory as it is done now, this is always empty. Okay? And if this is empty, all we have done up to now is meaningless. Okay? Why it is meaningless? Because this system is clearly always impossible at any point. Okay? Because it contains both these type of inequalities. Okay? So it doesn't depend on the point you are considering. You consider any point, not necessarily a minimum, okay, or a candidate minimum. And this is true, and this system is impossible. And since this system is impossible, then I have Fritz Jordan. Okay? But at any point, so I'm not discriminating. This is the reason why I wrote useless. Okay? It is useless in our current approach. But if I want to consider lesser evil, okay, actually, this would be these two, lesser evil or greater evil, which is the scalar product of this system. Okay. So the idea is to perform the same thing, but now also in the first linear register, we put the condition that this is zero. Okay? So we have this for all I which are active, all active inequality constraints, and all inequality constraints. And all sorry inequality constraints. Okay? So the difference between minor, less strictly, and lesser equal, so strict inequality and inequality in the definition, remains only for inequality constraints. Okay? So, what am I adding here? What I'm adding here now is that in the description, I should also prove you these inequalities, which I won't do. And the third point here is that you need an assumption on the equality constraints. And the assumption is that the gradients at the point are linearly independent. So I'm adding everywhere this assumption, almost everywhere. Okay, then I'll show you that you don't. So these are linearly independent. Okay. This inequality requires this assumption. Okay, so if these gradients are linearly independent, then this linearizing set with strict inequalities is a subset of the tangent cone. The other one is always true. Okay, just for your knowledge, how do you prove this? The trouble is that you are dealing with equality constraints. Equality constraints are described in a surface. Okay? Intersection of surface is in a line. And, well, what you need is to move on this surface, and the tool you use here to prove that, that you remain in the surface described by the equality is the so-called implicit function theorem. Okay? Teorema della funzione implicita, which in Italy is known by the name of its of the guy who discovered it, which is Ulisse. Okay? So if you check for this theorem in American or English book, you will find the name implicit function theorem. If you look in Italian books, maybe you will find out Dini's theorem. Okay? So the proofs require some mathematical machinery which is not trivial or obvious. Okay? And also the proofs require some effort. I did the proofs a few weeks ago for mathematics students, and it takes half an hour of computation because you have to check many things. But okay, for us it's just fine. If these elements are independent, this inequality is satisfied. Okay? So here I can add, I'm going with the orange chalk, I can add this. Okay? And if you remember Motzkin's theorem from Tuesday, I gave you in the form in which we had strict inequalities, inequalities, and equalities. And this is the reason why I gave you in that form. Okay? So that here, this actually reads, here we can add other multipliers. Mu j, which are not restricted to be non-negative, because that was Motzkin's theorem, and you just add them. Oh, sorry, here you have the radius. You just add them in the multipliers rule. Okay, it's Motzkin's telling you. Okay, and then you act exactly in the same way. So all this stuff works if these are linearly independent. Okay. But let me just check one thing. Okay. Clearly, if they are linearly dependent, the Friis-Jahn conditions are satisfied when these multipliers here and here are zero. For the suitable coefficients, we show you that the gradients are linearly dependent. Okay? So, the case in which they are linearly dependent, you can just have the Friis-Jahn type conditions also for that case, just knowing that it's likely that this one, this guy, and this guy here, the multipliers here and here can be zero. Okay? So you can state the theorem. Let X bar a local minimum point, then there exists theta zero, lambda I and mu j, not all zero, such that the Friis-Jahn conditions are satisfied. Okay? When you go to KKT conditions, the basic idea is the same. Okay? I need to qualify the constraints, the descriptions of the constraints, in such a way that this multiplier is non-zero. Okay? And which are the assumptions? The assumptions are the same as before, plus this condition of linear independence on the gradients of the equality constraints. Okay? So, linearly independent becomes that the gradients of the inequality and the equality constraints are altogether linearly independent. Slater condition becomes this plus divisibility for the equality constraints plus these gradients to be linearly independent. And Mangazarian Fromovic condition becomes that this linearizing set is non-empty plus linearly independent. Okay? So, the treatment and other assumptions, once again, you prove that this is satisfied. Okay? So, the scheme you follow, this part and this part as well, is exactly the same.
okay, is exactly the same procedure. It's exactly the same scheme. Okay, the difference is that somewhere you need this assumption. Okay, for brief jobs, actually, it is not needed, but in that case, the multiplier corresponding to the objective function is zero generally. Okay, so the condition is not very, very useful. The rest is exactly the same. Just add this everywhere. So in general, let me cancel here. Here we simply say that we have such that constraint qualification is satisfied as X bar, okay, where we know linearly independent of all the gradients of the constraint function, or Slater, or Mangasari or Framovic, and here we just have these other. So this is the most general form of the KKP conditions. KKP conditions are generally just necessary optimality conditions. Okay? Do you remember when this condition given in the variational form was also sufficient? So, generally, the scalar product is non-negative for all directions in the tangent cone, is merely a necessary condition. It is sufficient if capital X is convex, and, X is convex, and F is convex as well. Okay? If you check in your notes, you will find that if the feasible region is convex, if the objective function is convex, and this is true, then X bar is a minimum point. Okay? The same thing works here. Okay? But now we have to specify something a little better, because it's not enough to suppose that F is convex. You need to suppose something on the functions. Okay? So what you need to suppose is that the inequality constraints are given through convex functions, and the equality constraints are given through affine functions. Okay, affine functions are the linear constraints. Okay. Exercise for you. Check that if the GIs are convex and the HJs are affine, then capital X is a convex set. Okay. How do you do the exercise? You apply the definition of convex. Okay? You want to show that this is convex, so you try to check the definition, and you exploit the convexity of this one, okay? And the fact that the equality constraints have this form, so you know it explicitly. Okay? It's an exercise to get to know the definition a bit better. And what is the result saying? Well, If I have a feasible point and corresponding multipliers such that the KKT condition hold plus convexity, then the point is a minimum point. Since the problem is on that, minimum doesn't matter to specify it local or global because it's always a global minimum. So I can write you the statement and also give you the proof because the proof is pretty simple. So the sufficiency of the KKT condition suppose that the function f and gi are convex. Suppose, okay. F and gi are convex. A, j's are affine. X bar is feasible. Lambda I greater or equal than zero. Mu j in R satisfy altogether the KKT condition. Then, x bar is a minimum point, there's no need of any constraint qualification in the sufficient part. Okay? So if you have all the convexity you need, plus a feasible point, plus appropriate multipliers which satisfy the KKT condition, optimality is achieved. Okay? So when you have a physical point and you are in the convex case, you would like to find the multiplier such that the KKT conditions are satisfied and then you are guaranteed optimality. Proof. Well, the proof of the theorem is simply we check the definition of optimality directly. Okay? I take any x in capital X and I want to show you that f at x minus f at x bar is greater or equal than 0. Okay? So I check directly the definition. Okay. Okay. So I start from here. First point: capital F is convex. So we have a nice characterization that says that F at x minus F at x bar is greater or equal than the scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with x minus x bar. Okay? So, at the very beginning of the first semester, we checked this. Okay.
This is what King S is conducting.
Now, we know that the KKT condition are satisfied. Okay? So we can write the gradient of F as minus this, okay? Take this part on the other side. So, thanks to KKT multiplier rule, to be exactly, we can replace the gradient with minus the sum all over I of lambda I gradient of GI plus, no, sorry, yes, minus plus sum all over J mu J H J S all this F with the scalar product with S minus X bar. Okay? Then, allow me another step here. Thanks to complementarity exactness, here the multipliers corresponding to non-active constraints are zero. So here this sum, rather than being on the full constraint, is only on the active constraint. And this will be useful afterwards. Okay, then I can split this in two parts. The sum over active inequality constraints of lambda I, the gradient of GI times X minus X bar, I'm just distributing the scalar product, plus or minus the sum all over OJ, mu J, HG times X minus X bar. I claim that this last part is zero. And I'm going to show you on the other blackboard. Why is that zero? Take the generic affine constraint, okay? Where this is the suitable vector of coefficients and this is the suitable value. Okay? The gradient is ij. Okay? So when I do the gradient times X minus X bar, I'm doing actually IJ times X minus IJ times X bar. Okay? But X and X bar are feasible. It means that H J at X is equal to HJ at X bar, which is equal to zero. Okay? Which means that this quantity is equal to IJ and also this quantity for X bar. So this is
This is bj minus bj. And so this is zero. Okay? I can tell you in an informal way. If you linearize linear constraints, what you get is the constraint itself. Okay? It doesn't change much. So this part is zero, is not giving absolutely any problem. So this is equal to minus the sum over all active inequality constraints of lambda I this star graph. Now I take that. So, and the reason here is that ij are affine functions. We have used almost every assumption except the convexity of the gi functions. Okay. Now it's their turn. Here we have the gradient of gi times x minus x bar. We know by convexity that this is less or equal than this. Okay, this is by convexity. We also have a minus, so we multiply by minus 1 and with which we find. Okay, so each one of these, taking also the minus, is greater or equal than the corresponding difference between this and this. Okay? This is by convexity of gi plus the fact that the lambda i's are positive, because here I multiply by lambda I by lambda I and then I take the sum. Now here comes the reason why I restrict it to active constraints. Since I restrict it to active constraints, this is zero. So what I'm left is the sum of these quantities. Okay, but let's check. Lambda I are greater or equal than zero. Gi at x, since x is feasible, are less or equal than zero. So, each of these terms is less or equal than zero. I have a minus in front of them. So, the sum is negative, minus the sum is greater or equal than zero. And this completes the proof. F at x is greater or equal than f at x bar. So it's a chain of inequalities. We first exploit the convexity of f, then the multipliers true, then the complementarity flatness, then the fact that the equality constraints are affine, then we exploit that the GIs are convex and then the corresponding multipliers are greater or equal than zero, and then we exploit feasibility again. So if we exploit all these things in the right way, we get the direct proof of this. Okay? So what do methods actually want to achieve? They want to find They want to find the so-called KKT points. KKT points are points which satisfy the KKT conditions.
Okay?
So, in general, so this is once again the replacement for stationarity. Okay? We have stationarity in the unconstrained case, gradient equals zero. We have stationarity in the constrained case, the scalar product of the gradient with all directions in the tangent cone is greater or equal than zero. And then we replace it with KKT conditions. And algorithms look for KKT conditions, which are necessary conditions for optimality, which become sufficient in the convex case. Okay? So algorithms look for KKT points, which in the convex case are also minimum points. Okay? So this is the similarity throughout all the course. We have somehow three different definitions of stationarity. The unconstrained case, the constrained case with a generic constraint, and the case with explicit constraints, which is no longer generally called stationarity, but KKT conditions. Okay? So, the next week, I'll show you some algorithms which try to achieve KKT conditions. Okay? There will be of two different kinds. One, you can imagine, will be the last one. Since these are system of equalities and inequalities, we try to apply method for the solution of nonlinear systems of equalities, and the trouble is that we also have inequalities. And the other methods are a bit more involved and exploit, so I give you final definition. Check this function. F as x, which is a function of x and the multipliers. Okay? Lambda is the vector of lambda 1, lambda n, and mu is the vector of mu 1, mu p. Okay? This function. The Lagrangian of the problem. Well, if you take derivatives with respect to the x variables, what you get is this. I consider lambda and mu as parameters, lambda I and mu j as parameters. If I take the derivative, so the gradient, with respect to only the x variables, and this is the way you denote it, I take derivatives, the partial derivative with respect to x1, x2, xn, what you get is this. So the Lagrange multipliers rule is telling you that the gradient of the Lagrange with respect to x is zero. Okay. And this is the other thing that we will look find. We'll try to find the point at which the gradient of the Lagrangian is zero. Okay. Allora, ci vediamo la settimana prossima. Ci vediamo martedì.